There was plenty of football last night, and I think, Ruby, I'm going to have to let you kick this one off, considering your Man United allegiance, because I think you would do me the favour if there was a big Shelburne result we were reviewing. I feel you would be courteous and let me kick it off. So I'll let you introduce Fergal and Gavin. I'll let you lead the way in this one.
Thank you very much, Shane. You know, Manchester United were probably having less success even in Shelburne of late, which probably says a lot about the picture. But
listen, hold on a sec. We scrapped a good draw, okay? We battled in on Friday night, 10 men, missing our captain. You know, there was some heroic defending from Man United that even when I was watching it, in my head I was drawing some parallels, but maybe that is a bit Shelburne-tinted glasses on, but however.
There's eight games left in the league, Shane. Who knows what might happen yet, I guess. Anyway, Fergal Brennan and Gavin Cooney do join us on the line. And Fergal, I'm going to start with you. When I turned on the television last night and saw no Harry Maguire, I got some little bit of belief.
Yeah, and I don't think you were the only United fan from that perspective. I was at the match covering it last night, and there did seem to be something kind of crackling in the air, obviously Casemiro being announced, and there does seem to be still a lot of faith in what Erik ten Hag is doing. There's obviously huge amounts of disillusion surrounding the club and the ownership, and there was the protests prior to the game, etc. But I still think at their core, United fans are positive about what Erik ten Hag is doing. I don't think even the most optimistic United fans would have seen that result last night, particularly against Liverpool. But there was almost a little bit of a feeling before the game that if there was ever a time to take a swing at this Liverpool team, it probably was last night. There was positivity around the Casemiro announcement and the fact that at home, in front of the home fans at Old Trafford, that it could have been done. But the performance, I don't think anyone saw coming. I think maybe best case scenario for a lot of United fans would have been a 1-0, maybe a set-piece goal, something like that. But the performance for the comfortable majority of the game was excellent. And they out-fought, they out-tacticked Liverpool. And it was really, really impressive. And a sign of, as Erik ten Hag, who I think he dropped a couple of swear words into his post-match, said, they can do this. The players are capable of doing this. And they showed last night that they can. But we circle back round to what Roy Keane said at the top of the show. Is this a one-off? That's the big question that now needs to be answered in the next few weeks and months.
Gavin, listening to Roy Keane last night after Erik ten Hag had gone away, where he had mentioned maybe changing his team around, he was adamant that the back four and the keeper should be left together. All great United teams, solid keeper, solid back four, and you can mess around from there on, but Dalot, Varane, Martinez, Malacia and De Gea in goal. Does ten Hag have to go with them and make United solid at the back if they're going to keep going forward?
He definitely has to make them solid at the back. I'm not 100% sure whether he should stick with that back five just for the sake of sticking with that back five. It suited the style of game United were playing last night. They showed a bit of humility in the sense that they didn't. De Gea kicked every one of his goal kicks long. If ten Hag wants to play the style he played at Ajax, he'll want to build from the back. He can't do that with De Gea. He's proven himself as the type of goalkeeper who can't play out from the back. So there are some stirrings that they're looking at alternative goalkeepers. So there may be a change there. And Lisandro Martinez was outstanding last night, but that's the kind of game that suited him. You know, it was the ball was kept on the floor. Darwin Nunez wasn't there. He wasn't really challenged in the air, and it was all on the ground. He's really good, aggressive, front foot defenders. So I wouldn't be sticking with the back five just for the sake of it. I definitely think Malacia has nudged ahead of Luke Shaw in the pecking order. I think there's question marks over Dalot at right back in games in which United will have more possession and have to be more of a protagonist attacking wise. But he certainly got the selection right last night. And I know you mentioned the fact it was important, the fact that Maguire was out of the team. The most important decision was dropping Ronaldo. I mean, that set the tone for the performance that followed. United were filled with energy. They did to Liverpool what Liverpool do to other teams. They snapped into tackles. They pounced on every loose ball. Their intensity was outstanding. Liverpool couldn't live with it. And one of the main reasons why they could reach those levels of intensity was that Ronaldo was on the bench. Like, I mean, he's 37 now. He can't run anymore. Whereas Martial, Alanga, Rashford, Fernandes, they can.
I know they can, but when you're looking at the other end and you're watching Maguire standing there not getting involved like Martinez did, you got to drive from the back. I'm only speaking as a fan, Gavin, you know him far more about it than me, but I love Martinez's aggression, and to me, he was spurring everyone on.
Yeah, oh no, he was outstanding. You know, it's the exact kind of game that suits him. You know, we saw him struggle against Brentford. you know, I mean, some teams, lower teams, probably lower down the league, will test him in the air. Like, he's only 5'7", but like, he did set the tone for the aggression coming out from the back. Like, he was snapping into tackles. Okay, I don't know how much he knew about that Bruno Fernandes shot that he cleared off the line, but he was there anyway. He got in the way of everything. I mean, if you want to, if Virgil van Dijk wants to look back at the tape of that match, he would learn something from Martinez, in the sense that he threw himself at everything that moved, which van Dijk certainly didn't for the opening goal. So, and that was another. It was a really good night for Erik ten Hag. You know, the first two games of the season have been a disaster. So many of the few decisions that he had made were called into question. You know, Eriksen starting up front in the first game, Martinez hooked at halftime in the second game. He got all of the big calls right last night. He got them right before the game in his team selection. He got them right during, and it was a really important night for him. It gives him a level of credibility and authority as a Manchester United manager that not many of his predecessors have had, I have to say.
Gavin, you wrote an excellent article on the 42.ie, and really it was kind of headed by "Awesome United Leave Liverpool to Prove That Great Team Is Not in Decline." More concerning for Liverpool than defeat at Old Trafford was the manner of it. And I suppose, like, Fergal, but to bring yourself back into the conversation now, feel free to shoot me down here and say I'm completely wide of the mark here, and 51552 is a number if anyone wants to text in and disagree or agree, but can we put this into perspective? Is this not, Fergal, you made the point of, in terms of, like, Liverpool look jaded. They've had a really long season last year. They're coming into this with a shortened pre-season. Players are going to now be coming into a Qatar World Cup and everything else. And actually, the parallels I drew from last night was going back to the jubilation and the over-egging of the Thierry Henry handball against Ireland. And everyone's like, oh, we should have beaten France. And everyone was like, oh, that was really good. Sorry, it turned out then that France were awful, and they proved to be awful over the coming months then. Is this not a case that we just need to simmer down a bit here? And United, yes, were hungry. United had a miraculous turnaround from what we've seen from the start of the season. But this could be a Liverpool team missing, was it, nearly a dozen first-teamers as well. To not put it into perspective that, okay, it's a victory, but this isn't just some completely sea change in how Man United are going to be for the rest of the season.
I would see where you're coming from in terms of a sea change in either direction, that United are going to have this massive upturn and Liverpool are going to fall off the horse. I don't think there's enough evidence to say that either of those things are definitely going to happen with any sort of solidity. What I would say from Liverpool's perspective, and speaking to a lot of Liverpool fans, and there was the journalists last night covering Liverpool, who there was a kind of lack of answers about what the issue is. There's talk of, are they tired? Have they been pushed too much in the last few seasons? And the way that they play is high voltage. Jurgen Klopp instills that into all of them. And as Gavin rightly said, United flipped the tables on them last night. They Liverpooled Liverpool in that sense, in terms of pressing high up and being aggressive. Liverpool need to look at the situation and look at themselves. The interesting bit from the James Milner, Virgil van Dijk kind of row that I thought was van Dijk's reaction. He kind of brushed Milner off and pushed him away as if to say, I know my job, don't be telling me what to do, I know full well what's going on here. But there does seem to be a tiny little element of them taking their eye off the ball. Liverpool are a magnificent team, they're still one of the best teams in Europe, but in the first few games of the season, not just last night, there does seem to be this little bit of, maybe it's complacency, maybe it is a bit of tiredness. And you maybe look at the transfer market and think maybe they needed more freshening up. Nunez has come in and he will be a good player for them. He's an asset. He's not on the same level as Haaland, etc., but he will score goals and he'll be a threat. But Sadio Mane was an enormous part of that team. Everything that was good about their attacking play generally involved him. And I think the midfield conundrum's coming back to them a little bit. In the early stages under Jurgen Klopp, he built a very functional, very operational midfield with Wijnaldum, Henderson, Milner, and then Fabinho later on. Now they are lacking that bit of drive, bit of spark with no Thiago in the team, because last night they tried to gamble on United playing as they did against Brentford. That's why Milner and Henderson played, both energetic, both looked to squeeze United. That didn't work. That's why Fabinho came on. So there is questions for Klopp to answer in the next week or so. I think they do need another body in midfield. But the danger is now, with the transfer window being so close, that who do they get? Do they go with an enormous bid for a target they actually want? Or do they get someone with a bit more experience to come in and tide them over and then look to address it properly next summer?
Yeah, I think
I think certainly that has been one of the good things Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool have done, is that they've invested wisely. Fergal, I want to pose a question to you from Gavin's article. I'd like to also say I'm not a PR man for Gavin Cooney and the 42.ie, but it was a very good article. And Gavin wrote, who expected this? Jurgen Klopp did. He spent the build-up hailing United and forecasting their hunger to the point that he wrote an obituary for Gabby Bonlahor's mentions. His players were either not ready for what United brought, or worse, were prepared for it but couldn't react. Where do you side on that question?
I would agree in terms of that they failed to react. I think the thing with Jurgen Klopp and Gabby Bonlahor, I certainly enjoyed it. Gabby Bonlahor does like to run his mouth off a little bit, and Jurgen Klopp put him in check to an extent. But I do think there was definitely a lack of reaction from Liverpool last night. Liverpool were anticipating, I suppose the way I'd phrase it is, Liverpool are anticipating the United that has played the first two games of the season. The issue there is we've all seen how Liverpool have been in the first two games of the season. If this was Liverpool at the back end of last season, as well as United played last night, Liverpool would have had too much for them. But Liverpool have not been good since the start of the season. Neither have United. But you can't go into a game like this, either Klopp or the players, or even the supporters, the travelling Liverpool fans, and think, we've still got enough. The old adage of you can't turn it on and off like a tap, that is very, very true. And you saw little snapshots during the game where players were looking at each other, as I said, Milner, Van Dijk, and they didn't really know how to react, to change things. They were looking at each other and thinking, hold on, I wasn't expecting him to win that ball, because in training we were told that he doesn't press, he doesn't close people down, he just gives up. You had Fernandes snapping into things, Martinez, you had Rashford, who I thought was excellent all night. And a lot of that comes from different areas within the team. Klopp has to react at half-time and with his substitutions, but Liverpool have got stacks of experience in that team. Van Dijk, Milner, Henderson, Salah, etc. There seems to be a real lack of individual players saying, right, this is what we need to do. Plan A isn't working. We need to manage and get ourselves back into this game, because Liverpool are still a much better team than Manchester United. Even most United fans would agree with that. But last night, They look miles behind them. And that's what I'd say, in a kind of long hook round. I wouldn't say there's going to be a sea change in either direction. But Liverpool really need to wake up, because they've been poor, really poor this month.
So Gavin, Jurgen Klopp, how does he turn around? They've borne it at home in Anfield this Saturday evening. Andy Robertson spoke in depth about it on Sky after the game, about how they individually have to look at themselves, collectively look at themselves. But how do you spark energy into a team in 6 days?
I don't know. I mean, Liverpool looked jaded toward the end of last season, which is eminently understandable. And there were issues there that reared their head again at the start of this season. Like, they've now conceded the first goal in 7 straight Premier League games for the first time ever. And what they did last season was so admirable. They found a way generally to win. And last night was their first Premier League defeat of the calendar year. So, I mean, that puts things into perspective. But I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say that this is a great team in decline. I wouldn't go full Dunphy and immediately say that. But what I would say is that they now have to prove that they're not entering into decline. They just look so tired and so listless. Like, Van Dijk now looks human. He looks like any other defender. He's missed time in tackles, given away a penalty, not reacting in the box. Alexander-Arnold is just way off the pace. You know, I mean, if you look back at the footage of the first goal, he switches off twice to allow Elanga behind him, and then he just stands in his own penalty area and watches Sancho shoot. Like, it's so strange. And while they look tired, some of it is obviously down to the injury. Look, of course they'll improve when they get injured bodies back. Some of it is down to the age of the players. Like, they're getting old together, and you go old like you go bankrupt. It's gradually, and then it's suddenly. Like, James Milner is 36, is, you know, officially too old to play in a game as big as that. Jordan Henderson is 32. Like, even Thiago, I think, is 31. Like they're aging. And there's parts of the team that are aging together as they refurbish other parts. So they're changing the front three, but as a result, they've lost that connection. And, like, Mane, Firmino and Salah were on such a similar wavelength. They moved in step with each other. The patterns aren't there at the moment with Diaz and Salah, and okay, it was Firmino last night. It'll be Nunes when he comes back from his moronic suspension, and it just adds up to a bit of a worrying picture for Liverpool. Like, I'm sure people will text in now and say, "Look, this is a great team. We're 3 games into a new season." Typical media knee jerking, and maybe that is the case. But there's just so many question marks accruing. They were there at the end of last season, and there hasn't been that just burst of energy. They haven't looked re-energised by the summer. They look an old and they look a tired team. And there's one that, I don't know, I mean, in transition is kind of a word you never want to hear spoken about your football team, but that kind of looks like what Liverpool are at the moment. Look, they're too good. They've too much experience, and the manager is too good for this to drift for the entire of the season. But by the time Liverpool get bodies back, by the time they find some rhythm and find some cohesion, I mean, Manchester City might have disappeared over the horizon.
Ruby, I know you had a follow-up question there, but Gavin mentioned texts coming in, and we do have a couple of texts coming in. 51552 is the number. Paul in Sligo says, was watching the Sky Sports team at the end of the game last night. They were like children on Christmas morning. Granted, Man United were much improved, but you have to remember Liverpool were without 10 first-team players, so bring on the return fixture in Anfield when hopefully Liverpool will have a full-strength squad to choose from. Colm in Dublin says, on Martinez's height and being put under pressure, he has won 70% of his aerial duels, and he is the same height as Cannavaro, the Italian defender. Height isn't everything when it comes to defending. I'm going to assume 70% of his aerial duels is right and not do any due diligence on that that remark. And there's an anonymous texter in saying, Liverpool need Bellingham now and Rice. I'm assuming Declan Rice. So it's as easy as that, Ruby.
I have no idea. All I can do is listen to Jamie Carragher last night comparing Martinez to Franco Baresi, and that did me. As simple as that. But Fergal United are going to the southeast on Saturday. First game up, 12:30 next Saturday. The very south, actually, against Southampton. And they have to keep the wheels turning, basically.
They do, and it's as simple as that. And again, to kind of steal from Keane's post-match, these are now the games where they have to test a different side of them. It's very easy to be up for a game last night at home against Liverpool. It's the Premier League fixture. We all know that. This is a more mundane operation. They're going to Southampton, who've been a bit in and out since the start of the season. I know they got a win against Leicester last time out. Casemiro, you would imagine, will probably come into the team, which is another difficult call for Erik ten Hag to make, because he had an excellent performance from his starting 11 last night. But you don't spend the money that you spent on Casemiro and not play him. Casemiro himself even said that if the paperwork had been done in time, he wanted to play last night, which shows you where his head is. And yeah, it is pretty much as simple as that, that they have to just keep rolling on from this. But there's going to be different styles of tests right the way through the season, and Erik ten Hag is going to be under the microscope constantly, because he's the manager of Manchester United, and Manchester United are in their lowest point in terms of the Premier League food chain, as they have been for a very, very long time. If they'd lost last night or got a negative result last night, that would have put even more pressure on him. The record of defeats at the start of a season would have stretched on into the 80s. I think it would have been back to the early 80s was the last time it was as bad as that. So I don't think it'll be as exciting as it was last night, because Southampton are, as I say, a bit kind of middle of the road. But United need to go, they need to win, they need to get 3 points on the board, all the cliches that you can think of, because that's what the bulk of the Premier League is. That's what Manchester City and Liverpool do so well. They get over these hurdles, they beat these teams that they're expected to beat, to make sure that they don't have too many issues further down the road, and they can concentrate on the games that decide the title, the top four, etc., which is generally them playing each other and maybe one or two other teams in the Premier League. But win this weekend and then just keep going.
It will be interesting to see how it goes. Fergal Brennan, Gavin Cooney, thank you both very much, as Liverpool will hopefully avoid relegation, and Man United will be challenging for the title alongside Arsenal.